Good morning.
Good morning.
That was a little bit quiet this morning. I'm kind of surprised at you people. You still must be full from Thanksgiving. Well, Zell didn't even reply. I'm so surprised. So good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, that is what I'm looking for. Yes, I think that when we show excitement and passion, and it shows that we are awake. See what I did there? Yeah. Yeah, that was not planned at all. That energy really brings forth some growth and amazing things to come. And I really, I'm grateful for your energy. I often tell you and for our visitors, this is a back and forth relationship here. When I get up to preach, you are involved. Okay, and so it's a conversation, and sometimes I'll ask you questions, and you can feel free to give answers as long as they are
appropriate.
Yeah, see, you guys are learning. That is great. Appropriateness is always good. So today's lessons, there's so much to talk about, but I think I'm only going to talk about one of these themes that are really blaring out at me from the page this morning. I'm not going to talk about the rapture or anything like that. That's for another series, another time, another day. I think today what I want to talk about is this whole idea, and maybe explore a little bit, this whole idea of being asleep, staying awake. Because most of my life, as I was familiar with these verses, is I'm a PK, a pastor's kid. My dad would preach on this text too, and it never really made sense to me, the whole idea of becoming awake or stop sleeping. Jesus in the garden talking to his disciples, saying, "Couldn't you even stay awake for these few moments while I was praying?" This idea, it's a theme, and I think that our Western minds, when we think of wakefulness, what do we think of? That would be Eastern minds, Vicky. Yeah, they think about your coffee, right? Or your tea, or whatever it might be. This whole idea of like, oh, well, I've got to get up in the morning, yeah. We can take a nap, maybe I'll wake up. What does Jesus mean by stay awake? And I think that sometimes that whole idea gets lost in translation. Coming from an Eastern thought to a Western thought, we kind of mix things up, right? Jesus was talking about being aware. Good job, Vicky. Jesus is talking about being, you were at the Sunday school class last week, so we talked about this. Jesus is talking about awareness, not necessarily talking about waking up from sleep in a physical sense. This idea of sleep, of awakening, is something that is pretty profound to me. Okay, because we go through our life in this state of being where we're very much focused on ourselves, right? We've talked about this. That's the whole idea of what sin is about, is being focused on ourselves, being turned inward. And what did Jesus do by coming to this world, incarnating on Christmas, going through his ministry, suffering, and rising from the dead on Easter? What was his work? What was he doing? Teaching, that was part of it. But the whole thing was to bring us back into a right relationship with God, right? And to save us from the sinfulness of being that we were in. Jesus' ministry was to awaken us. Because I don't know about you, but when we walk through life and we don't even know that we're sleeping. I have multiple examples this morning. The first one is when you're driving on like a long stretch of road, okay, and I think I mentioned this before, and it happens to me when I'm going to Kahului. Suddenly you're like, am I still driving on this road? how could I possibly still be driving on this road? Okay, because my mind had drifted. You know, and in my family, we like to joke around that we got abducted and then returned. And because we have no memory of what happened, I look over to my wife, I think we got abducted again. You know, it's this whole unawareness. We turn inward and we begin thinking. We begin thinking about what's going to happen in the day, or you're thinking about what happened yesterday, or you're telling yourself stories about someone who you think is upset with you because they looked at you cross-eyed and you don't know how to interpret that, and so they must be mad, and so you begin to spin these tales in your mind, which makes you even more asleep, right? And then suddenly you snap out of it, you're like, whoa, where have I been? That's one form of sleeping and wakefulness. I really think that, and if you have any of you heard of Richard Rohr, Father Richard Rohr? Well, that's far too few people to know. Oh man, we're gonna have to change that. Father Richard Rohr is a fantastic theologian, philosopher, thinker. Google him and watch his videos on YouTube. He is fantastic. He is absolutely fantastic. He's a modern-day mystic, and he pushes the boundaries of theology, and he talks about this idea of being asleep as kind of being this natural false self to us, who we are. Okay, this falseness, because it's not who we were created to be. We weren't created to be asleep, wandering through life without awareness of anyone else other than ourselves. We were not created that way. That is not good. God created us good. And to be created as good in God's image, we are aware of those who are around us. That is our true self. Father Rohr talks about this. Another word you could put in place of the false self and the true self is ego. What does our ego tell us? My mom's son, what's that? You are, Joel. You are. Yes. Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. My mom summed it up great for me growing up. She'll probably watch this and then yell at me later. And she would say to my dad, what's yours is, have you heard this? What's yours is mine. And what's mine is mine. Did I get that right?
Yeah.
What's the other one? It's what's yours is yours and what's mine is mine. That's like the right? That's what my dad would say to her. And she said, yes, exactly. What's yours is mine and what's mine is mine. Everything's mine. Mine, 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 mine. That's the ego. Wants to fill itself up with everything, take everything from everyone. It wants to be satisfied, but it never is. It is based out of all sorts of things that really mess up our life to keep itself going and to keep itself alive. The idea of ego is here in this passage. This is what Jesus is talking about waking up from. Stay awake. Be aware that this is not about you. What? It's not about me? That can't be right. It's about Joel. My name's Joel. Yeah. It's not about me. It's about others. This is what Jesus was teaching us the whole time, is that we are to put our own egos aside so that we can help and serve and love other people so that they can experience the grace and the love that God has for all. Because our egos tell us that God is separate. God is distant. God is far off. Because our egos want to be number one. It wants to be first. We wake up from that and we realize that, no, my goodness, it's not about me. It's about you. It's about them. It's about what God's doing in this world. And the only way that God can do that in this world is through us. When we become aware of the fact that we are not our egos, that's when true growth begins to happen. We've talked about this before, right? We have. This is what Jesus is teaching his disciples, and through them, he is teaching us. He gives a little example. Well, first Paul gives an example I want to talk to. He says, from verse 13 on, let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness. These are all great things, right? Not in quarreling and jealousy. We don't see any of these things today. That's the good thing. He says, nothing's changed, guys. Nothing's changed. He says, instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. So my question is, what is the flesh? What is he talking about? Okay, what is the flesh? Is it our physical selves, or is it something else? And what is its desires? What does the flesh desire? Richard Rohr helped me to see the answer to this question, because it was one that confused me for a very long time. The flesh is likened to the false self. Okay? And the false self, the ego's desires, are all sorts of things. I made a little list. Control, to be the best, to be the center of attention, to live for itself, to do what I want to do, not what you want to do. To identify with things. That new car, that new house, the new surfboard. All these things that we really kind of take a liking to and we really want to gain for ourselves so that we can have that satisfaction for that short amount of time before we're no longer interested in it. Ideologies, to identify with these ideologies. You know what an ideology is? Yeah? An ideology, for those who don't, an ideology is a system of beliefs that you were taught when you were young or all through your life as you were growing that becomes a part of your identity. So if anyone challenges one of your ideologies, you get upset. You know, no, the Thanksgiving just happened. This is like the season for ideologies at the table. Right? We talked about this on Thanksgiving a little bit. It happens. Politics comes up, right? Religion comes up. All of these kind of hot topics come forward, and sometimes I really think that people do put a question out there and then sit back and just, like, enjoy the show, you know? I have a sibling who does that. Yeah, that's an ideology, something that really triggers you if somebody disagrees with whatever it might be, okay? That's what the ego really likes, that. It just wants to survive, and it labels everything good or bad. Anyone ever done that? Takes like 0.03 seconds to make a judgment about someone. Just like that, even faster. And it happens all the time. That is slipping into some kind of a sleeping state of mind. We're judging others. This is what the flesh desires. These are the things that gratify its desires. Jesus talks, he says further, verse 27, for as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark. And then they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. They were so enamored with themselves and their own lives, they were sleeping. They weren't aware of what God was doing around them. They weren't aware that God was working. and that God was doing good things. They thought it was all about themselves. And you know what? It's the same today. Jesus calls us to wake up, to see that God is working. In this season of Advent, as we are called to wait in this strange dichotomy, okay, we have waiting for him to return, and we have the waiting for him to be born, all converging in this one season of Advent. Waiting, watching, observing, being awake, seeing what God is doing in your life, seeing how God is moving in the world around you, being aware of God's presence. To be aware of God's presence means moving your awareness out of yourself and out to the world around you. I am not free of my ego. Anyone here free of your ego? No. Nope. That's a long journey. That's a lifetime journey, being trying to rid that part of you. Here's an example. I got triggered the other day. You know, trigger. When someone says the word triggered, what do you think? Angered. I felt anger. Challenged. Huh? Sadness, I felt that too. Tempted? Yeah, there was some temptation in there. Anything else? Yeah, all of those things. We feel it. I got triggered. There's an individual who kind of hurt my family. And not a part of this church or anything like that, just someone we thought was a friend, and you know, we'd built this relationship, and then suddenly, I'm not going to go into the details, but it was hurtful. And we went to the beach the other day, and there was this person's car. And I was like, okay, this will be interesting. Okay, suddenly all just seeing the car totally triggered me. Panic, anger, frustration, anxiety, all of these things, because I didn't want to have a confrontation. I didn't want to have that, right? Because that doesn't feel good. That doesn't make me feel like a good person. What will I do if I see the person? Am I going to punch him in the face? No, of course not, right? No. But that was thinking, like, you know, feeling that stuff. Just like, whoa, really angry. Really angry. And we went, saw the person, walked by. That got to our spot on the beach and had a good time, and then that person left after 10 minutes. It's unfortunate. I hope for reconciliation someday. But I was thinking about it. Why is this bothering me so badly? Why is it making me feel these things? I didn't get an answer until the next day when I was like still thinking about it. To sleep on it overnight, it's still a part of my thoughts, and then I realized it's not that person, it's totally 100% me and my own ego that thinks it should be treated better, that thinks it should not have to go through confrontations, that thinks it, fill in the blank, right? And the moment I realized that was my false self working in that situation, it just kind of dissolved and went away. I no longer felt angry. I no longer felt these things. I felt, you know what I felt? I felt compassion. I felt compassion. Because if I was acting in a sleepful state, an unawake state, the other person probably was too. And since I'm aware that of what I was experiencing and why now, the compassion was because they don't know what they're doing. They don't realize it. And how can I blame someone who doesn't realize what's going on around them? And so I felt compassion, and I suddenly felt love. And that was the weirdest thing I've ever experienced. Okay? When Jesus is talking about love your enemies, that's what he's talking about. That's what happens. Is when you realize you take your own ego out of the equation. Thank you. I was thinking more along like lines of recipe. I don't know. It was really strange. But the equation is much better. Thank you. When you take the ego out of the equation, you know, all sorts of possibilities open up. And that's the kingdom. That's God's kingdom at work coming in. And every time you or I become aware of that and become awake, God's kingdom is more fully established. That's exciting. That makes me want to make enemies everywhere. Not really. You know? But you get what I'm saying. This is what Jesus was saying to us. Keep awake, therefore, for you don't know on what day your Lord is coming. Be aware, because Christ is returning. Be aware. Don't be so engaged with yourself that you miss it. See how God is moving around you. Let's pray. Gracious God, I give you thanks for your guidance and your love, your patience. I ask that you would continue to walk with us in this journey that we call faith, that we call life, that we call discipleship. As we follow your Son, we ask, Lord, that you would reveal to us the truths that are contained in your word. That you would help us to add them into our lives. Most importantly, Lord, we ask that you help us to stay awake so that we do not miss your kingdom come. We pray this in your holy name.